All right. Thank you. Wait a minute. Got to have that. Made a mess without that. All right. Again, thank you for being here today. We appreciate you coming and pray you receive a blessing by being here. I forgot. I get out of my routine and I kind of forget some things. A while ago, I forgot to mention the prayer request before we prayed, but I've already prayed. But if you would, be in prayer for Jane Shiver, especially the loss of Roscoe, and then as she's recovering from hip surgery, Jim Allen, Guy Smith, Ronald Roberts, going to have a procedure done this month, Kathy White, also Nancy Green. We've been praying for her for a good while, and she finally got somebody that's donating a heart. She's going to get a heart. She's on the list, and so that's being taken care of, getting her prepared for that. And then also pray for Darlene Jordan this morning and some very special needs that they have there. So if you would, remember all these and pray that God will bless. And again, I want to say thank you to all those that have prayed for me and asked about it and how I was doing. And obviously, overall, I'm doing well. I'm not in a lot of pain, not having a lot of problems. The biggest problem is I just can't put my foot down. And Susan's not used to me not putting my foot down, but I thank the Lord for her, because I tell you, I couldn't go nowhere if I didn't have her to get my scooter out of the back. So I appreciate all of you praying for me. But literally, I'm grateful to be able to be here and to be in the pulpit. I had a friend call me this morning. He's here today. He called me this morning. He wasn't here last week. And he said, "Hey, why don't you sit down?" I said, "Hey, I think I'm going to do that." And so if you can handle it, I can. And again, appreciate the opportunity. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 20. And as I want to share with you today, a message that surely will not make preachers popular to preach. In fact, I believe we're living in a day and age which not too many preachers preach about this anymore. I tell you today that there's things in the Bible that need to be preached, and we need to understand the truth that is set forth in the Word of God in order that we might realize the importance of it. Somebody said, and of course you can see I'm preaching on the excursion through hell. Somebody said, "I don't think we ought to preach on hell. I think that'd scare people." Well, good. That's what it ought to do. And if you're going there, you ought to be scared, because it's going to be an awful place. I promised the Lord a long time ago that I would never stop preaching on hell. I do not time it until the Lord lays it on my heart, but from time to time, I'm going to preach a message on hell. Somebody said, "Well, majority of people in church are saved." Well, I know that, but there's a reason for preaching, and I'm going to share that in just a few minutes. But again, the world today is crying out against the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. And I believe that's why we're in the mess we're in today. And I want to share with you today something I hope be a blessing to you. And I know today, I pray by the grace of God, that everybody in this building is saved. But I tell you what, whether you're saved or lost, hell ought to ring true in our minds constantly and continually as we think about people that are lost in their sin and dying and going to hell. In Revelation 20, verse number 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I want you don't have to turn there. You can if you like. But in Isaiah chapter 30, in verse number 10. Isaiah 30, verse number 10. Here is the people of old. Here's what they were saying in that day, and I believe they're saying in this day. Let me begin in verse 9. "That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God." Brother, don't you think that's where we're at today? People don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. He said in verse 10, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us the right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophecy deceits." In other words, in that day, they were crying out and saying, "Listen, don't tell me the truth. Lie to me and make me feel good, and I'll be okay. You'll be okay for a little while, but the moment you draw your last breath, it's going to be a very difficult time in your life if you never come to the realization of Jesus Christ." Many people today don't even know the definition of this place called hell. Hell, I believe, is a place of eternal punishment. You talk about not only being a place of punishment, it's a place of solitary confinement. I told somebody the other day, I don't like being by myself. I enjoy being around people. I know a lot of people travel a lot on the road and have to drive long distances by themselves. That was not for me. If I had to do it, I guess I could do it. But I don't like being alone. But hell is a place where, friend, you'll be alone and you won't be with those friends you thought you would be. Hell is the wine of wrath of Almighty God. It'll be poured out on those who are lost without Christ, without any restraints whatsoever. Hell, like Jesus said himself, or basically Jesus said himself, that more about hell than any other person in the Bible. Friend, don't you think if Jesus talked about hell, that we ought to preach about hell? And don't you ever think we ought to tell people that there is a place called hell? You see, Jesus preferred an unpleasant truth to a pleasing lie that the devil is trying to deceive you into believing. Somebody just recently said to me, "Oh, preacher, when you die, and you're gone." Oh, I tell you, it'd be easy if that would be the case, but that's not the case. The Bible teaches us, we talk about having eternal life, but could I submit to you today, everybody in this building has eternal life. But it won't be much of a life in hell, but it will be a good life in heaven for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word hell is derived from a Greek word that comes from a word called a Gehenna. This means perpetual burning. Now, south of Jerusalem, in the valley of Hinnom, there was a dump outside the city where the people would go and they would take the remains of the sacrifices that had been offered and they would take them to this place and they would burn them. Because there was so much sacrificing going on, it was a place where the fire literally never went out. It burned forever and ever. So when he refers to this place called hell, it's a place of fire. And by the way, that's not a figment of our imagination. That's the truth of the Word of God. Hell is a real place. According to Matthew 5:22, the Bible said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." He said in verse 29 and 30, "If thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable thee that one of the members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not thy whole body, which is cast into hell." Basically, that seems extreme. But he said it would be better off if your hand causes you to offend you, or your eye causes you to offend God and go against God. It would be better that you plucked it out and got it right with God than for your whole body to be cast into the lake of fire where you'd burn forever and ever. Now again, before I begin the message, I want to quickly give you three reasons why I'm preaching it today. First of all, if you're saved today, you ought to rejoice when you hear a message on hell. You ought to rejoice because you know there is a hell and you know that you're not going there. I tell you today, man, I get excited when I think about the truth of the Word of God, that in hell people will burn forever. But thank God I've been set free. I've been released. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm on my way to heaven. The second reason I'm preaching the message today is to make you think about loved ones, friends, neighbors, and people that you work with that are lost and dying and going to hell. Friend, anybody that I care about at all, I don't want them to go to hell. In fact, people that I may not even care about, I don't want them to go to hell, because I know today that hell is an awful place. And today it ought to make us get a burden and understanding today that we have a burden to see folks saved. I tell you back, I've just got through reading the biography of Charles Spurgeon, and I tell you, wish you could read that story. Many times he preached to 20,000 people, and people were being saved right and left because they wanted to be saved from a place called hell. But friend, I remind you today, we're living in a day and age which very seldom do we see people getting born again, and they're taking their chances and they're gambling with their lot that they're going to go to heaven, when in all reality they're going to spend eternity in hell. And then thirdly, and the main reason I'm preaching the message this morning, is to anybody that's here that is lost and without Christ. I'm not going to take time to go through a whole message to describe it, but friend, the Bible said you must be born again. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to just close here, not close. You got excited, didn't you? I'm going to close the introduction right here, but I'm going to tell you this. Friend, today, how sad it would be today for you to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but only you, listen to me, only you know today whether you're saved or not. This is a good-looking group of people today, well, with the exception of a few, but I'm just kidding, of course. Great number here, and I appreciate you being here, and you look good. And I tell you today, you look like all of us will be in heaven one day, and I hope we will. But friend, if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus Christ, please listen as we take an excursion through hell this morning. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I just thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, thank you. Thank you that I don't have to go to hell. And thank you, Lord, there's nobody in this building that has to go to hell. I know today that you gave your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin in order that we might have salvation. And how foolish it would be to walk out of this building knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were lost and on our way to this awful place. But I pray today that you'd guide me, give me the wisdom, strength, and help I need. And Father, I'll thank you for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. The first thing I want to describe to you today is hell. Is hell is a place of darkness. Now I tell you today, when you think about darkness, you say, that's not bad. I enjoy darkness when I sleep. I enjoy darkness when I sleep, but I sure don't enjoy darkness when I don't sleep. And believe me, you will not sleep in hell. There's a long, dark night a-coming in which there will be a place, there will be no expression of love. There will be no courses to glorify God or to lift our spirits. The darkness will be total. I think how it must be. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to be blind? I remember years ago, I don't remember if it was at Sunday school or maybe even been when I was in high school, because we used to have Bible lessons in high school when I went. But I remember one time somebody told me, said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close our eyes, and we're going to pretend like we're blind, and we're going to function like we normally do. Well, that's a joke within itself, because when you close your eyes, you're not going to function normally as you would. We'll stumble and fumble and fall, and oh, the relief to open our eyes and to see the beauty of this world that God has created. I realize today there's many people who have lost their eyesight, Fanny Crosby being one. And God used that to inspire her mind to give us great things. But a person that dies and go to hell, they'll be in a place of eternal darkness. They'll be in a place of unending weeping. They'll be in a place of unending regret. They'll be in a place of unending, listen to me, hate and unending misery. It will never end. I've said all along with this little surgery that I've had, listen, it might be a little setback, but it's nothing compared to what people go through. But I know one thing. I feel confident that it's going to come to pass. But I tell you, in hell, it's never going to come to pass. There's going to be darkness there. And I tell you, you say, well, I hear people say sometimes, well, I want to go there where my friends are. You'll probably be there with your friends, but you won't know it, and they won't know it. And be honest with you, you won't even care about them being your friends because you'll be in so much pain and agony. Second of all, hell is a place of total despair. You know, today, listen to me, there's hope. Today there's hope. Today we have optimism. Today we have faith, but in hell there is no hope. There is no optimism. There is no faith. There's no encouragement. There's no kindness. There's no singing. There's no love. There's no little children. There's no smiling. And there's no forgiveness. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Friend, whether you believe it or not, I believe Jesus is coming soon. It could be today. It could be before I get through preaching. And I'm telling you, you're taking a grave chance if you do not know that you're saved today. You need to understand that Jesus may come at any moment, and hell will become real to you like never before. In hell, there's even no hope of dying. I've heard people often say, I'm sick and I wish I'd be better off dead. I've heard people pray that the Lord would take them. Pray, Lord, you'd get me out of my misery, and Lord, whatever is your time. And again, I don't understand. Sometimes God allows people to suffer, and I understand that. But friend, I want you to know we're here until God decides to take us home. And we may desire, and by the way, even desiring, I believe God may, in answer our prayer, take us home. But in hell, You can pray all night and all day long that you die. I'm talking about eternally die. But it'll never happen because you'll be tormented day and night. There's no hope of being annihilated. There's some group of believers that believe, well, they're not believers, but a group of cults, I guess. They say, well, when you die, you're just going to be annihilated. You're just gone. You're just gone. Listen, they're sadly mistaken. You're not gone. Listen, folks, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe any of it? Do you believe that it's the inspired word of God? Then you have to understand God said there's a grave importance about this matter of hell. It's a place of total despair. Thirdly, hell is a place of total alienation. Do you know hell was never prepared for anybody in this building? The Bible said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. You know that. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say all unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into an everlasting fire. Listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't say, cast them into the fire that I made for them, or I prepared for them, and I have for them. He said, cast them into the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell this morning, listen to me, it's not because God does not love you. Do you understand? The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin in order that you could go to heaven. And how long will we halt between two opinions? How long will we just take to decide that we need to put our faith and trust in Christ and be saved by the grace of God? To the blasphemer with the black oaths and the cursing and taking God's name in vain, if God was to take his breath and to put it in the palm of his hand and to squeeze it to shut it off from him, blasphemer, you would head headlong into hell. Not because God did not love you, but because you refused him and rejected him in a way that was not pleasing to God. But you don't have to go to hell. God loves you too much for that. Friend, that's the amazing thing. There's going to be people in hell that did not have to go to hell. There's going to be people there that would not have had to go there had only they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I say it all the time, and I can't say it enough. Friend, it's not joining a church, it's not signing a card, it's not being baptized. Friend, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, coming to the realization that you're lost, you're a sinner, you need Christ, crying out to him and asking him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and save you. My, what a blessing it is to know that somebody's saved. I'm grateful. We just had Roger's funeral this week, and I remember when he first started coming to church, I talked to him, and I do this with anyone. I want to know when people come into the church, are you saved? I talked to Roger and said, are you saved? And he said, yes, sir, I know I am. And I said, okay, but when he got cancer, I went to the hospital. I said, Roger, I said, now this is serious. And I said, I'm not doubting anything you said, but I want you to tell me, do you know for sure? And he laid out a clear presentation of the gospel that a man, when he was a young boy, came to his house and sat down and shared with him the word of God. And he said, I know I wanted to get saved that day, and I prayed and asked Christ to save him. I tell you today, I'm rejoicing because I know where Roger is today. I tell you today, I don't want to ever have to preach a funeral of somebody that I don't know where they're at. I tell you today, it'd be hard to stand and tell a family that I'm praying for you, and there's comfort and there's strength and there's help when knowing their loved one has been cast into the lake of fire. To the drunkard, your mind is clouded. Your health is wrecked, and basically your life is a shambles. I tell you, it's come down to nothing more than a life of regret. You look back over your life, and you say, what have I accomplished? And I've ruined my life. I've totally thrown it away. But hey, wait a minute. There's still good news. God still loves you, and God still will save you if you'll come to him today, to that drunkard, to the dope addict, whoever it might be. You don't belong in hell. In fact, if you go to hell, you'll be an outsider. You'll be an intruder. Hell will not be home. Hell is the furthest thing from home that you could ever imagine. A home is where love is, or at least a real home is where love is. But hell is a place of hate. It's a place of torment. It's a place of agony. Then we go on to see that hell is a place of total timelessness. I'm going to tell you the shortest time in my life, and yours too if you ever had surgery, is when they tell you to draw that last breath, and you go to sleep, and you wake up several hours later, and you don't have a clue where you've been, what you've been doing, or what's going on. And you say, man, I slept right through that. That'll never happen in hell. Friend, the day that you die and go to hell, it'll be a place of total timelessness. Have you ever endured something that you thought would never end? You've gone through some sickness or some pain or some suffering. Or maybe you've experienced some tragedy and the torment of it is continuing to torment you for the rest of your life. And you said, man, if it could just be over. If it could just be over. If it could just be over. But friend, in hell, it'll never be over. And the very links of the chain in hell, every one of them cry out forever, forever, and forever. A million screaming voices, I believe, in hell this morning. I remember one time seeing a play that a college group put on, and they did a reading in a play where they depicted hell, and they opened a door as if they could look down in hell, and we could hear people screaming and crying out, and it was an awfulness, but I would submit to you today that it was probably nothing compared to what hell is really like. But I wish today I could paint a picture for you. Oh, today, if somehow we could say, Jesus, if you could for just a moment, would you in reality, could you just give us a glimpse of hell this morning from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church? Could you let us see what it is? And could you let us hear the crying? And Lord, could you help us see the people crying forever and forever and forever? Oh, I believe today, if you could, I don't believe anybody would walk out of this building today lost in their sin. Would to God you could be told the fires of hell will be one day burned out, but they won't. They cannot, because they're forever. Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. You know what it's like to not be able to sleep, have a restless night? I have them quite often. But I can honestly say, since I had my surgery, I think I still got a little of that sleepiness in me, because I've been sleeping pretty good, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing any more miserable to wake up in the middle of the night and my wife be able to sound asleep, enjoying her sleep, and me laying there for hours. And I'm thinking, why can't I just please go to sleep? I want to tell you something today. You're going to be conscious of every minute. And a minute's going to seem like a day. And a day is going to seem like a month. And a month's going to seem like a year. And friend, the torment over and over, the fires of hell, it will never burn out. It'll never go out. And nobody will have to keep the fire stoked. Listen, it'll be stoked enough with the people that are there. After a trillion years in hell, you'll be no nearer to the being out than the first day that you went in. What a dreadful thing it is to suffer alienation from Christ. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. It'd be an awful thing to go to hell and experience all that. But it'd be an awful thing to be alienated from a God that hears. We can cry out to God day and night from hell and will not accomplish a thing. But we can cry out to Him this morning and He'll save your soul and give you eternal life. Friend, it's not a hard thing. God didn't make it difficult. He didn't give us no trick questions. He just simply said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then measuring time in hell will be impossible. Life with Jesus is an endless hope when you're in hell. Without Him, it's a hopeless end. We sing that song around here, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, I tell you today, I don't know where I'd be without Him. I would not sit in this place this morning without Him. I tell you, I'm not saying there's not been times that I found myself in that position, but God help me today. When I stand and preach, I want to preach with the passion and the power and the Spirit of God upon my life, that you understand that if anything's accomplished, it's God that does the work in and through me. Hell, number five, is a place of total torment. Hell hath many torments, but none worse, as I've already mentioned, is the absence of God. Just to be separated from God would be hell enough for me. But all these other things is going to be there. It's going to make it so much more. Eternal separation from loved ones who died in the Lord will be another torment of hell. I tell you today, I'm grateful that I've got hope seeing my loved ones. I've had four funerals this year. I tell you, I'm praying they'll slow down. I'm saddened every time I hear. But I tell you what, with Roscoe's service, with Roger's service especially, and others that have been saved, but funeral service ought not to be a time of sadness. It ought to be a time of gladness for the child of God, I might add. You give me a lost person, and there's nothing I can do except preach the Word of God. Tell me people need to get saved. But I tell you, you take somebody that's lived their life for God, loved God, served God, been faithful to God, or even maybe just come back to God. We can rejoice in that and give the family hope that one day they can see them again. Friend, today, one of the greatest joys, I know, listen, somebody said, man, I can't wait to get to heaven. I hear people say the other day, people have passed, I say, well, he's up there with